Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
Good morning. For those that are visiting, my name is Chad. I am the lead pastor here at Bethel Church, and thank you for joining us this morning. You're joining us in coming to the end of our summer series that we have called Summer Sunday School, and relooking at old stories in a new way. And so I hope this summer that as we've visited stories, and if you grew up in church, nothing's new in these stories, but the way we're looking at them hopefully brings something new out for you. A lot of people will know the stories that we've shared and that we've talked about, and if you're new to church, we're hoping that this enlightens you and helps you understand different stories in the Bible. This morning, we're going to continue, and I want to talk to you about the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son. If you're in your Bibles, if you want to turn with me to Luke 15, when you turn there, it'll either say the prodigal son or it will say the lost son, depending on your translation. But here's the thing, as we go to look at this, what I want to talk to you just for a moment is, we go through the Bible, you'll hear us use words like, oh, Jesus tells this story, let's look at this story. And when we use the word story, I wish we don't have enough words to describe in our English language, but Jesus told stories of real things, or we look in the Bible and we see real stories of real people. So we talk about Paul, we talk about David, and we say, let's look at their story, and it's a real story. And then when you see Jesus, and it says he's telling parables, parables are literally just simply a story that's used to illustrate. So if you think about when you're trying to describe something to your kids, or you're trying to get a thought process through to somebody, and you kind of make up a hypothetical story to say, hey, let's talk about this, let's think about this. It's just an illustration. So if you look in Luke 15, you're going to see different parables, different stories that Jesus has made up on the fly to help describe what he's trying to get through to people. A lot of times he told parables and they were confusing, and some people would be like, we don't know what you're saying, and he's like, you'll figure it out later. He actually wasn't concerned. So he wasn't actually trying necessarily in some points to be like, I'm going to tell you a story, and at the end of it, you all get it. There's lots of times where like, we don't get it, and he was like, perfect. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll clue in. And so if you are looking at Luke 15, let's jump into it right in verse 1 and 2, and this is going to see why we start talking about all of these lost things. Luke 15, verse 1, it says this, now the tax collectors, the sinners, were all gathering around to hear Jesus. I love the fact that in Jesus' day, they separated tax collectors and sinners. It was like, you're the same, but tax collectors, we hate you so much, you get your own title. So now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around. So just for a moment, if you're new to the church and you work for our government, I want you to understand, it's not that they hated the tax collectors for the government. In Jesus' day, what happened was Jewish people would work for the Romans and collect taxes off of their own people, and they would charge more and pocket it. So they were kind of going against their own people. I thought for a moment, I'm like, wait a minute, we're talking about stuff where maybe you don't understand scripture, maybe the Bible's new to you, and I don't want you to think like, does this church hate our government so much that they, that's not what I'm saying. So in Jesus' day, this is the scenario. They were classified as traitors. This is why they're despised so much. And if you've watched The Chosen, I just love the way some of the conversations around the fire go between Peter and Matthew, because Matthew was a tax collector. You just begin to see some of it, and you're like, oh, I never thought of that. How did these guys get along? Right? Sorry, total side note. But I thought we should explain that real fast as I opened up with maybe an inappropriate joke. So, picking up again. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. Pharisees are the religious leaders of the day. They're us. None of us like to say it that way, but they are the Christians of the day. They're the spiritual people of the day. They're the religious people of the day. Religious people, just so you're aware, when your friends and your coworkers find out that you go to church, you are the religious person. So we need to make sure, as we read scripture, I know all of us want to identify as like, you know, we want to be like Elijah and Jeremiah, and we want to be like the prophets. A lot of us probably sometimes in our workplace line up more with Pharisees. None of us want to hear that, but we have to be careful that we're not that. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus hears this. This is where all of these stories come from. So Jesus all of a sudden just goes off. And he just starts telling these stories. He starts talking about a lost sheep. And back in Jesus' day, lots of shepherds, lots of sheep. So he starts telling the story of like, hey, if some of you lost a sheep and you had to look for it, you didn't know where it was, you're trying to find it. Anybody ever lose a dog? Your dog goes missing, your cat goes missing, your cat runs away. Just when the cat runs away, just be like, thank you, Lord. I'm just teasing. I'm not a cat person. I apologize. I know, right? Now people are just like, I'm so sorry. I'm not really sorry, but I'm sorry that might have offended you. But you understand that you've lost a cat, you've lost a dog, and you're like, where are they? You're trying to find them. You're driving all over the neighborhood. As you're driving around the neighborhood, you're asking people, and good neighbors, what do they do? Oh, your dog's missing, your cat's missing, what does it look like? We'll help. And they'll start helping. And one time our dog got out, and we didn't even know how she got out, and she kind of ran away. And we're trying to find her, and we couldn't find her, and we see some different people, and we're like, hey, have you seen this miniature schnauzer? She looks like this. Nope. So we're still looking, and all of a sudden we look down the road, and one of the guys we talked to that was walking two big dogs is now walking back towards our house with his two big dogs and this little dog tucked under his arm. And so then we have to tell all of our neighbors, hey, we found our dog, and everybody's happy. Everybody celebrates. And so this is what Jesus is talking about, because most of you might not have sheep, so I can't really talk about you losing a sheep. You'd be like, I don't have a sheep. So Jesus tells this story. Hey, if you lost this, when you found it, you're going to be excited. And then he immediately goes, okay, so maybe there's not some animal lovers in the room. Maybe the Pharisees, they don't care. They don't care about the sheep, and so maybe I should tell a different story. And so he starts talking about a coin, because what the Pharisees are known for is their love of money as well. And so he begins to tell this story of like, if one of you lost a coin. Now today when we think of coins, the biggest coin we have is a toonie. Some of you might be like, oh, I just missed out on my coffee. I don't care. Let's move on. I'll just use my debit card. So let's elevate this for us in the room. You have a $100 bill. Well, see, now Olson's like, hold on. And you've lost your $100 bill, or you've lost your wallet. And now you're like, I can't find my wallet. How many of you understand when you can't find your wallet, there's a panic that goes through you? And I understand today you're like, well, Chad, we're talking about a coin. Now you're talking about like all my identity, all of my, like I now have identity theft and I have to go through all, slow your roll a little bit. All right? We're just talking about like, okay, you've lost $100. But for most of us in this room, I believe $100 is a big deal. So if I've lost $100, I am now asking people, did you see my $100? And I'm not saying when I ask you, did you see my $100? That's not me asking, did you take my $100? That's me just asking if you found $100. And as you're searching, like if you lost it here, if you came in and you're like, Chad, it was in my pocket. I reached and got my lip chap. Now it's all gone. I don't know where it is. You're going to hang out afterwards. You're going to ask us to help you. And we're going to search the room. We're going to be under the chairs. We're going to be looking around. And then whoever finds it's going to go, I found it. And everybody's going to be happy. We were playing baseball in Brantford in a tournament. And one of the moms took off her rings because we were out in the hot sun all day. And it was just getting warm. And so she took them off and she set them on her chair. And then when we went to leave, she couldn't find her wedding rings. Her wedding ring and her engagement ring, couldn't find it. So here's like a whole baseball team on their hands and knees sorting through the grass, trying to find it. It was in London. Not that it matters to you, but it was in London. And all of a sudden, this random dude shows up. And he's like, what are you guys looking for? We're like trying to find some rings. I have a metal detector in my car. I don't know about you, I just forgot mine at home. And so this guy goes, gets it, and he comes along, and we find them. This lady was so excited. So excited. When she got home, she messaged the whole team, hey, thank you so much for everybody that stuck around and helped, because it meant a lot. So Jesus tells these stories. I've added my own. Because if you're looking, you're like, I don't see the lost rings in this chapter. It's not there. And then he goes in to the lost son. Now you have to understand, he starts this story off very differently. He starts it off very differently. Because here's the amazing thing about the lost son, in my opinion. He's not lost. He knows where he is. But he starts the story off and he says, there's this father and he has two boys. And his one boy comes to the father and says, I would like my inheritance now. In Bible days, inheritance is very big. It's a big deal. What this son is communicating to his dad in Bible days is this: I wish you were dead. And because you're not dead, can we pretend you're dead and just give me what's mine? This is what everybody in the room is hearing. Just so you have an understanding. This isn't like, oh, he wanted to take a loan out from his dad. What the people in the room are hearing is he went to his father and said, I wish you were dead. Can I have what's mine? So the father gives it to him. And then he leaves. And then he goes and he parties and he throws all these big parties with his friends and they're drunk. Scripture says drunk, prostitutes, the whole bit, everything. You think about it, there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's prostitutes. When you think of like, I am not going into this building because of this, I'm not going to let my kids watch this movie because of this, it's all happening. And the father knows. Because at the end of the story, the son, the older son says, here's what he was doing. They knew what he was doing. And then what happens is, he spent all of his money. And then surprise, surprise, none of his friends were around. And a famine hits the land. And why this famine is in the land, he begins to not be able to eat. He can't find work. And so finally, he finds work on a pig farm. He finds work on a pig farm. Now, what you have to understand again, Jewish people stayed away from pork. They didn't even have them on their farms. That's why they had sheep. They didn't understand the greatness of bacon. Aren't so many of us just thankful for Peter's revelation from Jesus? Amen. Certain parts of scripture that it's not hard to get an amen on. So because of this, what you have to understand is he is working in the lowest place he could be. He shouldn't even be touching them. And he's feeding them. This is how hungry he gets. He gets so hungry that he looks at the slop that he is feeding these pigs and goes, man, that looks good. And this was his breaking point. See, what you have to understand is some of us, it takes us to getting in to the mud and the manure and the slop before we hit our breaking point. And so for some of you, maybe we just paused here in the story. And maybe you're not fully in there yet, but you know that's next. Can I just encourage you to stop now? See, in my personal life, Jesus found me in the same spot. I wasn't looking after pigs. I wasn't living in slop. But everything that this son did, I was doing. And he met me there. And he brought me out of it. And this is why when I share this story about the prodigal son, there's so many times where I'm like, man, that was me. When the son looks at the slop, this is what he thinks. Man, my dad's servants live better than I'm living. I'm not worthy to be my dad's son, but maybe I can be a servant on his farm. Because then at least I know I'll have a bed to sleep in. I'll have food to eat. It's better for me. So he picks himself up and he starts heading towards his home. Now understand something. He hasn't had a chance to stop and have a shower. He hasn't had a chance to floss his teeth and brush his teeth. He's wearing the pig slop covered clothes. And he starts walking home. And Jesus continues in the story and he says, the father is sitting outside. I always say he's sitting on the front porch on his rocking chair and he's watching the driveway. And I feel like this father has been sitting there many times. I'm sure he did it every day, praying and hoping that his son would walk down that laneway. But as the son starts walking down the laneway, you just got to remember, the son has rehearsed this the whole walk. We don't know how far he walked. Again, it's just a story. But he's rehearsed the conversation the whole way. When I see my dad, this is what I'm going to do. And his dad sees him. And in the story, Jesus says, the dad got up and ran to his son. Now, here's the thing you have to understand in Bible days. The head of the home never ran. Never. They had people to do that. He could have just said, hey, that's my son. Can you run and get him, carry him to me? But that's not what he did. He got up and ran to his son. And as he got to him, it says that his son fell on his knees and said, Father, I don't deserve to be your son. And the father picks him up. And he asks for a robe to be brought to him. And he wraps him in a robe, a beautiful robe. Again, understand, he takes this beautiful robe and wraps it around his son who's covered in everything pig. He asks for sandals to be put on his feet. And he asks for a ring to be put on his hand. The ring symbolizes sonship. See, the parable of the lost or prodigal son, it's really about two sons. And a lot of times when we talk about the prodigal, we talk about the first son that we just told the story about. And see, the first is just an incredible sinner, as we've talked about. The parable tells of God's readiness to welcome such a person, such a child, even when they have no merits to plead on. See, the robe given is by the father is a mark of honor, and the shoes symbolizes liberty. John Wesley, he writes this, and he elaborates, and he says, he arrays him with the robe of a redeemer's righteousness, with inward and outward holiness, adorns him with all sanctifying grace, and honors him with the tokens of adopting love. He immediately adopts his son back. See, in 1 John, it's written in chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That verse is so captivating for me. If there's things in this world that I love that are not holy, that are not righteous, that are not godly, it says the love of the Father is not in me. Is that not a verse that kind of grabs your attention, holds you accountable? Is there things in your life that you love above God? You wouldn't say it, you wouldn't think it necessarily, but your actions Prove it. Verse 16, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The second son is a self-righteous, law-abiding person. Like Jesus' critics, the Pharisees, maybe, possibly, like some of us on a bad day. Or hopefully not, but maybe on a regular day. And see, Jesus may have well told the parable primarily as a challenge to these people. The parable is a story without an ending. It doesn't end, it's left hanging, it's a cliffhanger, where you're waiting for the rest of the story. See, Pastor Sandy, last week, he spoke about accepting God's mercy for those who have done us wrong. The story of the lost son challenges the religious people of their day. Right? Like, remember, they said, Jesus sits with tax collectors and sinners. He welcomes them. He eats with them. And then Jesus tells these stories in response to what they muttered. How often, when we're with other Christians, are we muttering? Criticizing. Gossiping. If only they would have done it this way. If only they should have done it that. If they would have done it this way, or I think this is better. Or I know that if they've done it this way, it would have turned out better. How much of us do we spend time muttering? See, the lead-up stories of the lost coin and the sheep are just simple, and of course, we all celebrate. All of us are happy. Man, you found your dog, you found your cat, you found your $100. We're all excited. We're all happy. And then Jesus hits home. Do we celebrate the loss who did us wrong? But then they found Jesus. And he accepts them with open arms. See, the amazing thing is, it doesn't tell us what the son's response was. Did the older brother go in and celebrate with his brother? Did he go in and celebrate, but yet tell everybody what his brother did? You know, I'm so thankful that he's back home, but did you know? I'm so thankful that this person found Jesus and came back, but do you know what they really were doing? Do we celebrate? Are we okay with God's grace and mercy in people's lives? All of us love it in our own lives. But when somebody has done you wrong, did he tell people? Did he continually tell his story? In the party, weeks later, years later, when people are like, oh man, your brother is such a good son. Man, does he ever support your dad? Is he ever blessed by the Father? Man, is that person ever being used by God, and our jealousy comes out, and we're like, yeah, but do you know their story? Do you know this is what they used to do? Let me tell you the story. Let me fill you in on who they are. I shared with you a little bit that Jesus found me and brought me home. Do you know how thankful I am that people don't know my story? And see, I know many people are like, Chad, we just love how you're transparent, but I tell you this, I'm transparent to a line. Because I know the enemy is there, whispering in people's ears. Do you know how thankful I am that cell phones didn't exist when I was a teenager? Teenagers, everybody in the room, not just teenagers, all of us, everything can be recorded. Everything can have a picture. And then when it's online, it's there forever. When God saves you, He wipes your slate clean. Now, I feel like I should just share just to bring peace in the room, maybe for some people that have been hurt and have suffered trauma. There is still earthly responsibilities, there's earthly consequences, that's the word I'm looking for, that follow. But God's grace and mercy can wipe your heart clean. There are things that I should remember that I don't. I believe God has wiped my mind of certain things so I don't remember, so I don't have to wrestle with them. When I came to know the Lord again, there was people I grew up with that had a hard time accepting it. We as Christians have to own the fact that some of the negative reputation that the church has in society, some of it is judgmental and lack of knowledge. Some of it we should own because of how we've responded in situations and presented ourselves as self-righteous. When I read this story of the prodigal, the lost son, I see myself in both kids. I see myself as the lost son. All of us want to see ourselves as him. The father welcoming with loving arms. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, he wants to welcome you with loving arms. But some of us have to own the fact that in certain times, in certain situations, our hearts, our flesh is the older brother. God, why did you use that person in that scenario when you know that's what I want to do? God, why did they get that but I didn't? God, why are you using them but not using me? We have to own this. So did he continually tell his story, or did the older brother accept and forgive his brother completely? No more stories, no more reminders, forgiven and healed. See, your healing is yours to get, yours to work through. Well, Chad, shouldn't they say they're sorry? In the best scenario, yes. But I'm not going to let my healing depend on your story. For some of you, that's gone on too long. And what happens is your wound gets infected. and it begins to affect all of you. And now you need a deep healing. Some of you right now are like, Chad, that's just way too hard. And absolutely it's hard. What I'm talking about is not simple. But we haven't been called to a simple life. You and I have not been called to a simple life. See, in the previous chapter of Luke 14, Jesus talks about the cost of being a disciple. He tells many different stories. One of them, which is this, who will actually come to a banquet table because they were invited. But so many people that were invited just had excuses. Other things to do. Other priorities. And then he talks about us being the salt and the light and being different and the cost of being a disciple. The cost of putting others first. See, loving Jesus and his way above ourselves. I'm not talking to you about living a life that I think you should live. This is what Jesus has called us to live. See, we love being called Christians because the Bible doesn't define a Christian. And you were never called to be a Christian. You were called to be a disciple of Jesus, and the Bible's pretty clear what that is. We just don't like it. So I'm good being a Christian, I don't want to be a disciple. If you want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you. That's very clear. Jesus says it so plainly that most of the people left. They stopped following him. And his disciples were like, Jesus, that was a little harsh. And his response was beautiful. He turned around and said, so how many of you are going to leave? Go ahead. Go ahead. And their response wasn't, no, no, we're going to serve you. You're amazing. We want to do this. Their response was, where else are we going to go? Like, they weren't like, I'm in. They were like, I'm going to stay with you because I got nothing else right now. So Jesus teaches about it costing us something. And then as he talks about this cost, the Pharisees question, why is he having lunch with these sinners? My question for you this morning is, who are you having lunch with? Who are you having lunch with? If you don't have non-believing friends in your life, what are you doing? Now, if you're new to the faith and most of your non-believing friends still influence you, then yeah, you probably need to take a break, get a little stronger. That's okay. But if you've been a Christian for a long time, if you don't have any non-Christian friends that you hang out with, who are you saving? Who are you ministering to? I love playing softball and I love being in hockey change rooms that if you walked into and you sat on the ball bench with me, you sat in the hockey change room with me and you heard some of the things that those guys said and how they talked and the way they joked, some of you would be like, what is our pastor doing here? I'm a light. I used to play on a Christian softball team in Strathroy and I tell them all the time, in Strathroy, if I got asked to play on a beer-drinking team where I didn't have any Christians on the team, I want you to know I'm quitting your team and I'm going to play for them. Who are you having lunch with? Who are you connecting with? Now, understand me. You should influence them. If they are influencing you, it's in the wrong place. You need to get out. We need to be the influencers. Jesus tells us to be different. We are to be different by the things that we bring into it, not take away. What we bring in. See, as his disciples, we are heirs with Christ. Romans 8:16 says this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if his children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified with him. If you have Christ in you, the Spirit bears witness that you're his child and you are an heir. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. You and I are children of God. Everything that he has, just as the father said to the older son, everything he has been given to us. It's been given already. The older brother didn't understand what it meant to be a child to his father. Do we understand what it means to be a child of God? See, being a child of God goes far beyond, I believe, eternal life. There are things that are ours now that we don't have to wait for our inheritance. We can have things now because we're God's children. We have access to the things of the Father because we're his children. Matthew 6, verse 7 or 9 and 10, it says this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I have the ability to bring heaven to earth, to be an influence for people around us because we are children of God. See, I want you to look again at verse 14, John 14 and 12. It says, Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. What you have to understand is better that Jesus left so he could send Holy Spirit to us to equip us and fill us. He's our counselor, he's our comforter, our help. He will bring to memory the things that Jesus has taught. We need to study his word so there's something to bring to memory. But in those moments where you're like, I just don't know if I'm not going to know what to say, Holy Spirit will bring it to memory. He will bring it to your memory. See, the older brother, he never left. He served his father faithfully his whole life. I want to read to you the way it ends in Luke 15, verse 28 to 31. It says this: The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, and he replied, All these years I slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all the time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours, look at not even his brother, this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. The older son was confused. In verse 29, it says, I slaved for you. The Greek word here for slaved is the same word that Paul uses when he talks about us being slaves to sin in Romans 16. This is where the Pharisees got it wrong and so many of us got it wrong. We serve God, but many of us lean right over to slave, not as children, not as friends. See, Jesus says in John 15, 15, he says, No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. For some of us, we need to watch our hearts. For some of us, our hearts, even with God, needs to change to understand you're not here to serve or be a slave to God. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter. And everything he has is yours. You don't have to earn it. It's yours. Because he is a good father who loves his children. We don't have a to-do list like a servant. We have a Holy Spirit that will speak to us and empower us because we are children of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done through us, your children. Let's pray. Prayer team, will you join me? As we look at the prodigal, some of you in this room, you may identify with the first son, and you're lost, and you need to come home to the Father. I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to close their eyes for a moment. Closing your eyes doesn't make it super spiritual. It just gives privacy. If you're in the room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ before as your Lord and Savior, you're here this morning, you're not even sure how you got here. If you're here and you've heard the story about a father who loves you, and you want to accept him for the first time, will you just raise your hand just for a moment? I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else just want to accept Jesus for the first time? Maybe you're here and you're like the prodigal son. You had a relationship with the father, but then you ran away. And now you're walking down the driveway and you're just wondering, Father, will you come and run and wrap your arms around me? If that's you, you want to recommit your life to the Lord, just raise your hand up. I just want to pray with you. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to get everybody just to repeat a prayer after me. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to forgive me. I confess this morning that I have sinned and I need your forgiveness. Jesus, will you come into my life? Forgive me of my sins. Wash my heart clean. And Holy Spirit, will you come and fill me? Give me the strength to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we just give a hand for those who have accepted Jesus? Just to get everybody to stand together. If you raised your hand and that was your first time, or you've raised your hand to recommit your life, the people across the front, they would love to pray with you for a minute and just encourage you in what your next steps will be to keep your walk with God strong. Especially if you've recommitted your life, can I encourage you to let them pray with you? Sometimes when we recommit our lives, it's even harder. And so it's nice to have somebody pray with us and stand with us and help us back onto the path with God. Also, they'll lead you to the front lobby where at the desk we have a Bible for you. We have something for you, and we want to just help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I think many of you come into the house this morning, and I think some of you just need strength. You need prayer. And I know we talked about being renewed with God this morning, and his strength being in us so we can face anything. Moses, incredible man of God, still needed Aaron and Hur to hold his hands up sometimes. And so this morning, maybe you just need somebody to pray with you and just encourage you. Don't ever leave this building the same way you came in. And so, Father, I thank you for speaking this morning, encouraging us and challenging us. I pray, Father, as we go from this place, as your scripture have told us, to be a light for you, to shine for you. I pray, Lord, that we bring light into places. We bring flavor into places that are yours. That Holy Spirit, when people see us, they see you. And that we can help transform their lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, to not be the older brother. Let us love and celebrate those who are getting close to you. Draw us closer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have an incredible day. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's messages.